Chapter 5, we're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 9. Stand with me, if you would, out of respect for reading of God's Word. And seven verses tonight to give us a little bit of context to build some principles tonight for taming the media monster. We are going to be looking at this idea of home improvement again and this idea of the media monster. So verse number 9, the Bible begins by saying, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise." Father, we love you and we do thank you for this opportunity to be in your house tonight. I ask that, Lord, as we look into your word tonight and as we try to draw some principles of application, Lord, to try to truly tame the media monster that lives in our culture and lives in our homes. Help us, I pray, to receive your word that we might walk in your wisdom and declare to the world the goodness of your ways. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, when it comes to the concept of media, the numbers are truly staggering. It is safe to say, I think, that media and tech is our modern-day drug of choice. It is the drug of choice for the generation and the culture in which we live. The fascination with media and tech begins from the earliest moments of awareness. I have seen on many occasions, and even recently, children who were far too young to feed themselves, and yet they knew not only how to hold the phone or tablet, but find the video that they wanted to watch. They can't use a fork to put something in their mouth, but they know how to navigate YouTube. In a 2014 survey, so by the way, things haven't gotten any better over the last 8 years. The average teen, according to this survey done by, I think it was Purdue University, averaged 11 and a half hours per day interacting with media. This wasn't just them having it on their person. This was them actually interacting with media. That is almost half of their teenage life. When do they eat and when do they sleep? And they do a lot of both of those. 11 and a half hours. Now, we think that's bad, but the average adult is not much better. The average adult is just over 7 hours per day. Now, just about every one of us in this room are thinking, not me and not mine. But the reality is many of us are probably a whole lot closer than we realize or dare to admit. So let me start tonight by kind of setting the tone. I'm not here to demonize media. I'm not here to demonize tech. I'm not here to demonize phones. I'm not here to demonize the internet. That's not what I'm here to do tonight. Media and tech, it sometimes feels like a monster, though, that we can't escape. But tech and media is not intrinsically evil. I'll go a little farther. Tech and media is not only not intrinsically evil, it's also not intrinsically trouble. It is a tool. And like any other tool, you need to know how and when to properly use it. And as a follower of Christ, you also need to know how to use it as a Christian. So tonight, here's what I want to do. I want to work through the passage that we read in Ephesians chapter 5 and draw some practical principles for how you and I can tame the media monster in our lives, in our house, in our children's lives. And the whole point of this, some of the things I'm going to say tonight, you're not going to like how specific they are. They're going to be biblical, and I'm going to tell you you have to deal with it because it's biblical, okay? Some of the things that I'm going to say, you're going to wish I was a whole lot more specific about. But here's the thing. I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to try to be the Holy Spirit for you. And so we're going to be specific where the Bible is specific, and we're going to be a little more broad where the Bible is broad, and allow the Holy Spirit then to direct you for your life and your home and your children in the sphere of authority that He has given you. Make sense to everybody? Amen. Let's look beginning in verse number 9 again. The Bible says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the fruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret." First principle we're going to look at tonight, number one, if you're taking notes on how to tame the media monster, is that we have to discern appropriateness. We have to be able to discern appropriateness. And really, that starts with being able to discern between right and wrong, between righteousness and unrighteousness, between good and evil, because yes, there is still a difference. And we as Christians have to be able to discern between what is light and what is darkness. Verse number 10. It uses the word prove, or proving what is acceptable to the Lord. That word prove has the idea of examining, discerning, making clear that we have this job to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord, what is right. Verse number 11, it tells us to reprove the works of darkness. To reprove means to call out, to tell a fault. In other words, we are commanded as Christians to be able to look things and say that is wrong, that is evil, that is wicked, that is filth, and I am not going to be spotted by the garbage of this world. We have a biblical call to prove what is right and to reprove what is wrong, and in case we have forgotten what the standard is, it's not about, the big picture is not about what works for you. The big picture is not about what pleases you. It is about, verse number 10, proving what is acceptable unto the, what's that last word? Lord. That word acceptable means fully agreeable. So we are to prove what is right, to reprove what is wrong, and our standard is that which is fully agreeable unto the Lord. That's how we discern what is appropriate. Now, it is amazing to me how little discernment is used when it comes to tech and media, even by Christians. And perhaps it's because we consider media, when I use the words tech and media, I mean all the screens we use, and it's your social media accounts, it's the videos you watch on YouTube, it's the music streaming that you have on your phone or on your tablet or on your TV, it's your Netflix, it's your Hulu, it's your Disney Plus, it's whatever other streaming apps you have, it's the games that you play on your devices, all of those different things we're going to call tech and media. And perhaps We use so little discernment often because we consider media a break. It's almost like the playground. And we just kind of go and do our thing for a little while. But here's the thing, even if tech and media is used as a break a lot of times, we never take a break from following the Lord Jesus Christ. We never do. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There have no temptation taken you. Give me 10:31 if you could. That's the verse I want to get to, and I'm going to push for time a little bit. Brother Josh is on the computer for the first time tonight, so I'm putting it to him. Look at that, nice and quick. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do," what does it say? "Do all to the glory of God." Now, if God expects you to eat to His glory and to drink to His glory, those are pretty menial things. We eat and drink all the time. We don't think they have any spiritual significance. But if something as menial as eat and drink is to be explicitly done to the glory of God, guess what? Whatsoever you watch, whatsoever you listen to, whatsoever you scroll, whatsoever you post, whatsoever you do, all to the glory of God. If menial drink and eat, then your videos and social media is definitely included. But the thing is, people allow things into their lives through tech and media that they would never allow in any other way. In other words, you will listen to somebody say something because it's in a song that you would never allow somebody to say to you in person. Or you will watch somebody do something on a screen that you would never allow them to do in front of you in person. And we have developed this desensitized extra set of rules because it's on a screen for what we allow to infiltrate our lives. And if we are ever going to tame the media monster, we have got to begin by discerning what is appropriate. So let me give you a practical principle, all right? Rubber meets the road. Practical principle. Develop clear, written boundaries. I wasn't going to include that word written, but then I did. Because you know what? Something happens when you actually have to put it down on paper. You see, I can roll over some things in my head and my heart, and I can agree with them. But once I start putting something down on paper, it kind of changes the game a little bit. Mamas and daddies, do you want to tame the media monster in your house? Guess what? You can. And it starts by developing some clear, written boundaries. Now, media, we talked about it, is a powerful tool. And powerful tools require powerful plans. In other words, we would never willy-nilly wield a chainsaw, or at least we shouldn't, not unless we're Darrell Davenport and we know what we're doing, right? Copy? Copy. But powerful tools require particular plans. And so I would recommend that as a family, we develop some we wills and some we won'ts. And make it really simple. Use scripture to help you to formulate what you will and what you won't do. Just start with the Bible. Because here's the thing that happens when you just start with the Bible, a lot of that other stuff that seemed really cloudy, really clear. You see, the Bible, when we're talking about discernment, right? We're talking about discerning, proving what is right, reproving what is wrong. The Bible is actually very clear in what our relationship should be with good and evil. Romans 12 in verse number 9 reminds us that we should abhor that which is evil. We should abhor it. We should abhor that which is evil. And we should cleave to that which is good. Later in the book of Romans, it says we should be simple concerning that which is evil, and we should be wise concerning that which is good. The psalmist said in Psalm 101 in verse number 3 that he would set no wicked thing before his eyes. He said, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Let me give you another verse. Psalm 101 is a great verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. When it comes to media and tech, church, we have got to be biblical in what we allow into our lives and why we allow it into our lives. What kind of language? Boundaries on language. What kind of situations are you going to watch or listen to? What kind of philosophies are you going to subject yourself to? See, the crazy thing is that there are some who will listen to who will put a lot of time listening to podcasts of people who hate God and mock God. And, well, but they also talk about fill in the blank. Put up Psalm 1:1 again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, I'm not going to tell you what your biblical boundaries should be. I am simply going to tell you that you should have biblical boundaries because you're a Christian. And as a Christian, we understand the Bible makes us blessable. And as a Christian, we understand that in every area of our lives, that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as a Christian, we understand that if we are going to follow the living word of God, then we have got to follow the written word of God. It is that simple. And so again, I'm not going to tell you what those are. You may come down in a different place than I do. You probably will. There will be some things that I allow that maybe you don't, and some things that you allow that maybe I don't. But here's what we got to be. We have to be clear on what the Bible says. And we have to be with clean conscience before the Lord, seeking to obey God's will. So I'm not going to tell you what all of your boundaries should be because I'm not the Holy Spirit. But if the fact that I said that we ought to read scriptures and Christians should let the Bible determine their media consumption, if that ruffles our feathers, the idea that we should have to codify some boundaries for our families, then I'm going to tell you, media is calling the shots, tech is calling the shots, not the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact is, if you don't put boundaries on media, you will find that it is a beast that is nearly impossible to tame. And so develop boundaries for your home that are led by the Bible. And you're going to have to answer some practical questions. Will you mindlessly surf the web? Can you go for, as it were, a summer stroll on the World Wide Web and just see where you end up? Will you allow yourself or your family to go down the YouTube rabbit hole? That's where you just see what the next video they recommend is. What social media will you use? What will you not use? How much social media will you be on? What will you allow yourself to see on social media? I'm going to tell you, people put the nastiest, stupidest stuff on social media. And I am, okay, well, people who attend church and claim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who post the nastiest, most hateful things. Ladies and gentlemen, what we are doing everywhere we are is a reflection on the Lord Jesus. And I watch Christian after Christian push people away from Christ on social media. Don't let that be us. What social media? How much social media? What will you allow yourself to see on social media? What will you post? At what point will you just delete it and get off of it altogether? You have to have boundaries. Will you use media alone? Will you use it beyond a certain time? How long will you or your children be able to look at, listen to, engage with tech and media? Hear me, church. We need to take God's word. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. And we need to begin to use some biblical discernment and set some boundaries for our home. Develop boundaries led by the Bible for your home. Prove what is right. Reprove what is wrong. Discern appropriateness. You with me so far? Amen. Look at verse number 13. You're going to like this next one even more. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For what whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So here we have an illustration of the power of light. Light, it removes darkness. Light makes things clear. And so let me give you the point, and then I'll give you the practical principle. If number one is discern appropriateness, number two is demand accountability. Or our practical principle, invite light in. Light makes manifest. Light reproves darkness. Light makes things clear. Do you want to tame the monster? Invite light in. Every kid knows when you turn on the light, the monster goes away. Invite light in. Demand accountability. So, if discerning appropriateness was us trying to establish what is right and what we're going to do, demanding accountability is establishing the where and who the accountability for the tech and the media is. So, a couple of thoughts here. No one is afforded secrecy. No one is afforded secrecy. None of you have that level of security clearance with the government. Okay? Your spouse can see your phone. No one is afforded secrecy. Because the problem is sin thrives in the shadows. Sin thrives in the shadows. And doubts grow in darkness. Transparency, on the other hand, accountability, on the other hand, eliminates doubt. And so a good rule of thumb, we might say, is to elevate accountability and to eliminate doubt. Elevate accountability to eliminate doubt. At the end of the day, we need each other to stay strong and get stronger. Proverbs 27:17 tells us that iron sharpens iron. We need each other to stay strong and to get stronger. And when we do struggle or fall, and by the way, all of us are prone to falling into bad habits. All of us are prone to being drawn away of our flesh. So when we do struggle or fall, we need each other then too. Probably more than ever. You know, James 5 and verse number 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Guess who wants you to suffer alone in your guilt? Guess who that is? My microphone's not working, is it? It is and it isn't. Man, I don't have a handheld up here. That's a bummer. We all know I'm not going to stay behind this thing. Brother Charles, go run me one up. That's great. But guess who wants you to stay? Why don't you use our fancy new steps, Brother Charles? Wonderful. Guess who wants you to stay alone in your guilt and shame, in your struggle? The devil does. Guess who wants you to find a brother to help you up? Guess who wants you to find restoration? The Lord Jesus does. And by the way, your family does, and your church family does as well. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, what does it say? Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted also. And so, hear me, we need each other to be strong, to stay strong. And when we do struggle, we need each other then more than ever. Therefore, a good rule of thumb is, if accountability cannot be maintained, then the tech or media in question should not be maintained either. No one is afforded secrecy. Parents, good place to stop and mention. Parents, or those with children in their household, you are the accountability for the kids. You are. You are.
not the school. You are. Yes, there is work involved. You have to work to keep kids accountable. Guess what? They don't want to be kept accountable. Because my flesh doesn't want to be kept accountable either. And so, yes, there is work involved, but parents, you are the biblical accountability for your kids. Yes, there is a cost involved, but parents, you are the biblical accountability for your kids. Yes, it will be hard at times because your kids are human and your kids will struggle and fall. And it will be hard to deal with hard things. But if you're not willing to deal with hard things now, hear me, you're going to deal with harder things later. And so, parents, you are the one who is responsible to provide accountability for your kids. And parents, we struggle with that because, guess what? Sometimes we struggle to enforce standards because we know we struggle to maintain standards. And so we struggle to say, give me this or give me that or let me see this or this is where you know you should be. And so sometimes we avoid that conflict because we feel that conflict within ourselves. But moms and dads, you got to hear me. This is a monster in our culture. And if we're not careful, it will be a monster in our house. And if we allow it, we can set our kids and grandkids up for it to be a monster in their life for the rest of their life. And if there's something not right in our own lives, we've got to get right. And then we've got to grow up. And then we've got to get on it. Because if we're not willing to provide genuine accountability for our kids, we are sacrificing our kids to this monster. And then we sit around feeling helpless. What are we going to do? We sit around feeling helpless and sorry for ourselves over the havoc that it brings. But the answer to taming the beast is pretty simple. Invite the light in. Invite the light in. Demand accountability. And so if we're going to tame the beast, tame the monster, number one, we've got to discern appropriateness. And what was our principle there, church? Our principle for Roman numeral one was you develop clear written boundaries. Yep. Develop clear written boundaries. You could also put the word biblical in there. That'd be good. Number two, we talked about taming the monster. We talked about demanding accountability. And our principle there, church, was what? Invite the light in. Turn on the light. Let me give you one more principle. And then we'll be done. Look at verses 14 and 15. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. Roman numeral 3, we need to develop an alertness. Develop an alertness, or our practical principle, be intentional. If we are going to tame this monster, we must be intentional. Taming the monster of media doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't happen by chance. It only happens intentionally. By the way, just about everything we're going to talk about in home improvement happens intentionally. Be intentional. Let's consider a couple of thoughts. I want us to consider first, even going up to number one, clear boundaries. So there are things that you can do, programs that you can buy, things that you can utilize that can help you to discern what is right and what is wrong. Did you know that before you watch something, there are websites you can go to where you can find out what words are used, what situations are there? They often give the parents just about all the information they need to know. And so what do we need to do? We need to familiarize ourselves with where do we learn this information. There are certain things out there that block some of that stuff. And we can go on and on and on and on and on. And so if we're going to be intentional, we have got to be intentional. We don't have an excuse really anymore for allowing these things to just happen. Along the lines of Roman numeral 2, demanding accountability. There is all sorts of accountability software that is available that will track where you go and what you watch and what you listen, all of that stuff, and give a nice detailed list to an accountability partner. One of the ones that's used, I think, most often in circles such as ours is a program called Covenant Eyes. There are others that are similar and others that are like it. But accountability doesn't happen by happenstance. It doesn't happen by chance. It happens because you're intentional about it. And so be intentional. Be intentional. Be intentional. Invest to be intentional. Let me give you another thought. This is for parents. Last one was for everybody. Considering tech and media with kids. How many of us recognize that tech and media is designed to be addictive? It is designed. It is designed to trigger dopamine in the brain, which is designed to be addictive. And so the content of the videos, the length of the videos, the music, the shows, all of it is designed to keep you hooked, to keep you there, to keep you coming back. Tech and media is designed to be addictive. Let me ask you, what other highly addictive thing do we put into our kids' hands? Are we handing them a pack of cigarettes and telling Johnny to go take care of himself for 30 minutes? Daddy's got to mow the grass. We're giving them a dime bag of weed? I mean, what other addictive substance are we giving our kids and then just kind of leaving them be with no supervision, with no plan, with no boundaries? Tech is designed to be addictive. And so we have to be intentional on how we relate tech to our kids. You see, our culture is going to teach kids that tech is a toy, is a fun playground where you can go and it's all good and it's all fun and anything goes. And explore all you want and do all you want and be who you want to be. That's what culture is going to teach our kids. That it's just this just incredible wide open playground. But you see, that's not what it is. Tech and media is a tool. And tools need to be used properly. And so one of the things that I even thought of as I went through this is when my kids see me engage with tech, what impression am I giving them? That this is, I mean, not what words come out of my mouth. No, you can't have my phone. No, that's different. What do they see? What do they see me do? What do they see me watch? What do they see on my face? What are they learning from me and my use? Do they see me treating it like it is a powerful tool that needs to be used in proper ways? Or do they see me using it like it's the fun playground? Now, we don't use it like everybody else does, but am I intentionally helping my kids to understand the power and potential of what these things are? You see, we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. We have to be intentional because the world is being intentional. Verse 14 says, "Awake, thou that sleepest." And I'm going to tell you, on this thing of tech and media and the internet, the church has got to wake up. Because the danger is real, it is robust, and it is ruinous. Statistics that were released estimated by age 18 that 93% of boys and 63% of girls admit to being exposed to pornography. And those are daunting numbers. The reality is they're probably worse. The danger is real. The danger is robust. And the danger is ruinous. You see, media is addictive. But tech and media is also influential. You see, it might be your escape, but it is designed to influence you. And what you buy and where you go and what you do and what you think and how you vote and what you believe, it is designed to be influential. And I'm sorry, but kids are very influential. You see, we must be intentional because Satan is being intentional. The Bible still says that Satan, 1 Peter 5:8, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. In Genesis 3 and Revelation 12 and Revelation 19, Satan is described as a serpent, a cunning serpent, a subtle serpent. Revelation 12, one who deceiveth the whole world. 2 Corinthians 11:14 describes him as one who can even pose as an angel of light. You see, the world is being intentional in how they use media. And Satan is being intentional in how he uses media. But Christian, are you being intentional in how you use things? And how you allow influence into your life? And how you allow things to influence your children? Be intentional. I'm going to tell you, don't underestimate the danger or overestimate your capacity to stand. 1 Corinthians 10:12 reminds us, let him therefore that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Verse number 15, it tells us to walk circumspectly. Walking circumspectly means to walk carefully, to walk precisely, to walk exactly. I think a beautiful illustration of this is a cat walking along a fence. I think a more picturesque illustration of this is walking through a backyard that has a large dog. You are going to walk circumspectly because you understand there's a lot of, call it junk, in that yard that stinks. And if you're not careful where you put your foot, you're going to stink. And your life's going to stink. Circumspectly. There's a lot of junk. Man, this stuff does a lot of good. There's a lot of good that can be done with this stuff. I am so grateful for Clean Air Christian Radio. And the hundreds and the thousands and the tens and hundreds of thousands that we have had the opportunity to influence over the years through Clean Air Christian Radio. I'm grateful for Facebook. Those watching tonight couldn't be here. They're watching tonight. Those that will be watching this tomorrow or throughout the rest of the week. I'm grateful for media. You know what? I use media to find out what's going on in the world. I am grateful for media. But there's a lot of junk out there. And if you're not careful where you put your foot, you're going to find it stinks real fast. Be intentional. In 2022, media can seem like a monster, but it doesn't have to be in your home. Doesn't have to be. My prayer is that we would take the things that we talked about tonight, that you go home, you get alone with God, you get alone with God's word, you get together with your spouse, and you begin to develop, intentionally develop some discernment, some accountability, and some ongoing intentionality. For our sake, for our kids' sake, by God's grace and for God's glory, we can tame the media monster. Father, we